There is just one or two points that I would do the lesson harm if I probably don't get to return to the lesson for weeks, months, or years, if ever, without pointing out to you some truth on this subject to be kept in mind. We have looked on the final aspect of the lesson this morning, that merely receiving or hearing God's word is not so much the pivotal thing, even though it is pivotal and important. From the passage in Luke, we realize that how it is received and retained is key. Now, I want you to notice something too, a distinction that is made in Luke chapter 8, that's the passage around which most of our discussion was held today in the lesson. But the same Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, I want somebody to read that passage for us, just to bring to your attention the distinction that is made, and it is subtle. Let us hear the passage.
Take heed therefore how ye hear,
mm-hmm.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
As I've said, the distinction is subtle, but it is quite important. That is, you have the passage making a distinction between those who have and those who think they have. Now, this passage is from the mouth of Jesus Christ, and it is in reference to those of us who hear the word all the time. Listen to the passage again.
Take heed, therefore, how ye hear.
Take heed. That is, make sure that you are a careful, attentive listener. Mm-hmm.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given.
That is the concept here. If you have, more going to be given to you. But wait. It's not just having. The passage and Jesus's point is that the men and women who constantly put out effort, sincere, genuine, reverential effort to know God's word, more will be given to that person. That person is the most likely person to understand the will of God. Read on.
To him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
You notice the word seemeth. That is, even the little that he think him have, that will be taken away. I'm hoping to have a discussion like in a Wednesday night, even one Wednesday night discussion on this passage, probably as time goes on. But the distinction between those who have and those who think they have is quite striking. And remember, it is in reference to people like we are, who hear God's word. But notice here is where the line is drawn. Those who do not spend enough time with the word, they feel satisfied with the little that they have, not realizing that the little that they have, even that little, will be diminished or taken away. And yet the person who keeps putting out effort to understand God and his will, that person will day by day be more enlightened in respect to God's will. I pointed out that if we bring in attentiveness, in attentive mind and heart that is not attentive and respectful to the word of God, if we bring in attentive mind, vacant heart to Christ's word, all we are going to end up having is more vacant heart and mind that is still inattentive. We must come to God's word with reverence and respect, always with a desire wanting to know more about God and his will. We lose the power or the ability by indifferent hearing. Are we members who just sit through any lesson, through any sermon, where in a sense you couldn't care one way or the other? That's indifference. The Almighty God does not take kindly to that either. But one of the points I felt I need to bring to your attention for a few minutes is the fact that God's word teaches us about self induced blindness and self-induced deafness. I need to repeat that, because this was one of the main points. I said, let me say something on this, not knowing if and when the lesson will be revisited, at least that final point where we are one in respect to whom do we listen. Self-induced blindness, self-induced deafness. That is, those of us who hear God's word, we can become in God's sight deaf. We are hearing it, but it's like we are not hearing it. We can become, in God's sight, blind. We are seeing it, reading it, but it's like we are not reading it. And what the Bible teaches is that that is brought on by a person's attitude and disposition towards the word. It's important that we understand this so that we can strive with God's help to avoid being placed in that category. We will run first to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through verse 10. Brother Michael, I don't know if you could read it from okay. I don't mind it being read from both the King James and from the New English Version that I think Michael has. Let us hear it from the King James.
And he said,
What are we dealing with here? We are looking at what Jesus Christ says about self-induced blindness, self-induced deafness. Self-induced, yes. It is brought on by the person. The person read God's word probably relatively regularly. But it's like the person has never seen God's word. The person hear God's word preach or taught relatively regularly. But it's like the person has never heard God's word. Let us hear the passage.
And he said, Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not.
Mm-hmm.
And see ye indeed, but perceive not.
Mm-hmm.
That's verse 9.
Read verse 10.
Make the heart of this people fat,
mm-hmm.
and make their ears heavy,
mm-hmm.
and shut their eyes,
mm-hmm.
lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed.
But God, isn't that your objective? Read that verse 10 again, brother.
Make the heart of this people fat.
That the heart is not that which pumps blood for the Bible. The heart is the intellect. That is, their intellect stop working. That's why they can't understand.
And make their ears heavy.
That's what we call deafness.
And shut their eyes.
And that's blindness.
Lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart.
All the three things just listed here are God's expectation of us. That's what ought to happen in our minds, eyes, ears, when we hear God's word. But for some reason, the prophet speaking for God, or the Almighty God here, is saying, he, the Almighty God, not Satan, going to see that they are deaf, they are blind, and that they are unable to perceive, that is to understand. Why? It is self-induced. This comes as a result of their attitude and disposition towards God's word. Let us hear it from
NIV. Go and tell this people,
mm-hmm.
be ever hearing, but never understanding.
You hear? They are ever hearing. What Paul says? Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is it important, hold the passage, that we understand this? We need to understand what brought about this. Is that the Almighty God just set out to make sure some people do not understand for no reason whatsoever? No. That's not what the Bible is saying. If the Almighty God set out, the Almighty God set out only to give those people what they want, what they show of themselves. It's not that God just picking up on himself that I don't like that young man, or I don't like that young woman, or I don't like that middle age. No, it's nothing like that. The Almighty God is operating from the person's attitude and disposition toward his word. Men and women who have no reverence, who have placed no value on God's word, who place no worth on God's word, they are ever learning But they are still ignorant. We don't want to be in that position. Read, brother.
Be ever learning, but never understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Be ever seeing, but never perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
Make the heart of this people calloused.
That is their intellect, calloused. That they can't think. Uh-huh.
Make their ears dull.
Mm-hmm.
And close their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears.
These are men and women who do not want to understand God's will so that they can submit their lives to Him. They read it, but they read it with a critical, unbelieving mind and heart. We must make sure we do not fall into that category. We must go to God's word with humility, with confidence in it. We must go to God's word, placing the value and the worth and the pricelessness that it possesses always. We must go to God's word wanting to know God and His will through His word. We must always go to God's word with that attitude and disposition. Always. So what we have just read here in Isaiah is what I meant when I talk about self-induced blindness. It's not that the Almighty God fix it that some people must be lost and some people must be saved. There is no such foolishness anywhere. God fixed a plan that, in fact, God did not only have a plan, He made provision for every man and every woman to be saved. I said He made provision. There will never enough demand made on the grace of God that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot meet. Meaning, if you're thinking, Brother Mitchell, suppose every man, every woman who has ever been born, live to be a responsible adult, come to the Almighty God for forgiveness and salvation. Is the blood of that one man, Jesus Christ, is adequate? It is more than adequate. God made provision for every man and every woman to be saved. When the Bible talks about the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, if the entire world come to God in obedience, the Almighty God has the adequacy in Christ to deal with our sin and salvation. So it's not that God fix it that some people must end up in hell and some of us must end up in heaven. No. God fix it that every man, every woman who wants to be saved can be saved. So it's not that. When you read here about self-induced blindness and deafness, it's not that the Almighty God just take it upon Himself to dislike some people. No, He doesn't operate on our impulsiveness. No, sir. You and I can be impulsive, depending, of course, on our maturity. I don't like that person. The person has never done you anything wrong. God is not like that. When the Bible speaks as it speaks here, is that it? In fact, it's coming off the same line, same type of divine reasoning, where God sends strong delusion on some people, that the Almighty God makes sure that you believe the falsehood that He knows that you like, and all He tries to open your eyes to His truth. You are still inclined towards the falsehood, then it is as if God is saying, well, you love falsehood, let me help you along that way. That's right. And we as Christians need to know how God operates. That was Isaiah. Let us run to Matthew 13. Let us hear from 13 following to around verse 16. Matthew. Still on self-induced blindness and deafness.
Therefore, speak I to them in parables.
Christ says, therefore I speak to them in parables. Read.
Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not.
May I? A lot of time we isolate ourselves. By that I mean, we create a vast detached gap between us and the audience under consideration here. But when passages like this is read, we must, one, ascertain what makes Jesus' disposition towards these people the way it was. What made God respond like that? And questions like that will help us find out why, so that we do not fall into that category. Christ is saying, when he spoke in parables, it was no accident. Christ is saying that there are some people that, and that is based on their disposition up front. They dislike Christ and his teaching up front. They will try to find fault with it up front. So Jesus Christ is going to help them achieve what they really want. Falsehood. Read, brother.
And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross.
The word wax, as you are pointing out, it means, it's really French, mean to grow their heart. And remember, the heart is the mind. That's what we use to understand, to grasp things. Their mind grows gross. It cannot think straight. Read on.
And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart.
You notice the three processes are the step-by-step process by which we learn. What the brother has just read, Brother Webb has just read it, is that the hearing is involved in the learning process.
Seeing with their eyes,
that is, you read, you read something,
and hear with their ears.
Then you hear with your ears.
And should understand with their heart.
And you understand with your heart. You notice the heart that is involved here, not the one that pumps the blood, but the one with which you understand. And that is usually always the Bible's heart. You know, and always remember, Solomon says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Bible's heart is that with which we think. Read on, brother.
And should be converted, and I should heal them.
That is the ultimate goal of God's grace. That we become converted after having heard the word, believe it, turn to God in obedience because we believe and understand and respond to it. And then the Almighty God heal us spiritually and otherwise. That's the ultimate goal of God's grace. But then when any man or woman approach God's word, the rich word of the gospel, with a bad disposition, you have God working against you up front. That was verse 15?
That's 15, yes.
Let us hear 16.
But blessed are your eyes.
I want you to notice the contrast. Blessed are your eyes.
For they see.
Because they see.
And your ears.
Blessed are your ears.
For they hear.
For they hear. Wait. It's not that God just purposely gives some of us deaf ears and blind eye. No. It is self-induced. You see, brothers and sisters, what I want you to take away from this is that there are certain things that work against us in reference to our relationship with God that we bring on because of our attitude and disposition. May I? Just a simple illustration. You and I can work at the same workplace. I've been there for 20 years and you have been there for 20 years. You are convinced that you have done everything in your power to get a good promotion. But the owner of that establishment who has the totality of that establishment in mind, he has been noticing things that you didn't even realize he noticed. And the time comes when you are promoted, but I wasn't, and you go quarreling. Look how long my work here at. My God, the owner of the establishment has been assessing you, or assessing me, and taking into consideration some things that you wouldn't even think of. Well, as we deal with the Almighty God, we are assessed. And you know, one of the things is assess our attitude and disposition towards anything that is godly. We must make sure that we have a healthy attitude and disposition towards God and His Word. Christ in verse 16. Read it again, brother.
But blessed are your eyes.
Blessed are your eyes.
For they see.
Because they see.
And your ears.
And your ears.
For they hear.
Because they hear. It's not that you come with any peculiar eyes. What you come with is a right disposition. That is under consideration here. And that is important to the Almighty God. Look at Acts of the Apostles 28, verse 26 and 27.
Saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear,
mm-hmm.
and shall not understand.
Uh-huh.
And seeing ye shall see,
mm-hmm.
and not perceive.
Mm-hmm.
For the heart of this people is wax gross,
mm-hmm.
and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
You notice, they have closed their eyes. The Almighty God stepped in for the final closing when God discovered they do not have any interest in His truth. All of what we have read, these three or four passages, it is dealing with self-induced self-brought on blindness, deafness, and mind that will never understand God's word because of wrong attitude. Just one more passage. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Read for me.
For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision.
Before, I want you to notice that God's word can be strong against error. The group under consideration here are not atheists. The group under consideration are religious Jews who kept holding on to the law even though it was nailed to the cross. Who kept holding on to it and want to give the gospel of Christ a second place. Paul said that these people's mouth must be stopped. That strong language. Read, brother. Read again.
Picking up at verse 10.
Yeah.
For there are many unruly.
Unruly.
And vain talkers.
Vain talkers.
And deceivers.
They are deceivers. They are leading you contrary to what God wants for you.
Especially they of the circumcision.
That is, in our case, it's especially they who are bringing that you must keep Sabbath when Sabbath was never given to Christians. Read, brother.
Whose mouths must be stopped.
Wait, it doesn't mean you must get lock and key and go and put on their mouth. It means you must be so prepared with God's word that when you confront any of them, you can use God's truth to silence them. Whose mouth must be stopped.
Who subvert whole houses.
You notice the word. The word subvert is really a sort of political word. That is, they overthrow, they undermine complete family with their falsehood. A lot of that is happening today. We must make sure that we place ourselves in a position to help stop the mouth of some of them. Please.
Teaching things which they ought not.
You hear? It's a teaching. And we know what they are teaching is the law. Teaching things which they ought not to teach.
For filthy lucre's sake.
You hear again? Money. Yeah? We have just gone through this situation where if you are late for one of these man-made services, you have to pay for being late. Money brings the best and it brings the worst out of us. Always remember that. Preaching for filthy lucre's sake is something the Bible touches on more than once. That doesn't mean that false teaching comes from that motive only. Ego is one of the areas. But money is definitely one of the driving force. Men will go out and the founder of denomination thinking in ways that they can deceive people and get their money. Whatever the reason, you and I must make sure we are equipped to help stop some more.